We're Shivas Yemei HaMiluim, the last 7 days in Chodesh. Welcome back. Shalom Aleichem. The last 7 days in Chodesh Adar were Shivas Yemei HaMiluim, and then the first 12 days in Chodesh Nisan, where the Yud Beis Nisim brought the special karbonis, the Hanukkah HaMizbeach. The last Shivas Yemei HaMiluim, Aaron HaKohen didn't do the HaKrovas HaKarbonis. Moshe Rabbeinu did. Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu had a din of Kain. And then the first day that Aaron HaKohen did the Avodah was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, Oso Yom, the first Rashi, Oso Yom Notal Eser Atoros, Hashnuyos Beseder Roilom. Eser Atoros means it was the first day that Aaron HaKohen did Avodah, and it was the first day of the week. It was a Sunday, and it was the first day of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is the first month of the year. It was 10 firsts. So Eser Atoros means it was the first with respect to 10 different things. The big dekuna, the Gemara assumes, Roman for Aaron Avonov. So when Moshe Rabbeinu did the Avodah, the Hakrovas HaGamonov, the last 7 days, Shivas Yemei HaMiluim, he wasn't allowed to wear big dekuna. So what he wore, his regular outfit, his regular clothing. So the Gemara asked the question, Vameshi Mishmoshe called Shivas Yemei HaMiluim. It's not mistaber. The Gemara felt it's not mistaber that he should do the Hakrovas HaGamonov wearing the plain weekday clothes. The Gemara says he must have worn a haluk lovon. He must have worn a white... A special white beged. That's the only place the Gemara mentions this chaluk lov. Not mistaber that he did the avoda in his weekday clothes. So the Vilna Goyen says, based on that Gemara, he thinks that when Yisraelim would eat kachim kalim in Yerushalayim, eat korban pesach or other kachim kalim, he thinks also it's not mistaber that they wore their regular clothing. Probably also wore a haluk lovan. So the Vilna Goyen is quoted as having said that he thinks that's the reason why we have a minhag that you wear a kittel on Pesach night to the Seder, because the kittel represents a haluk lovan that the Israelim probably wore when they ate the Korban Pesach. He's reconstructing it. Nobody says that in the Gemara. The Gemara just had a svara, not mistaba, that Moshe Rabbeinu wore his regular weekday clothes when he was Mesham Meshivas Yemei HaMiluim. So the Vilna Goyen thinks not mistaba that they wore their weekday clothing when they ate the Kachim Kalam, when they ate the Korban Pesach. The Magen Avraham does not give that reason. Magen Avraham thinks that the reason why they have the minhag to wear, those who have the minhag, the reason why you have minhag to wear a kittel on Pesach night is that on Pesach, the Gemara says in the end of Cheskos Sabbatim, after the Churban Bayis Sheni, that Tanoi made a lot of gzeiros that everybody should remember the fact that there's no Beis Hamikdash and you shouldn't have a wedding like we have weddings. They have 50 courses in the wedding. They have a Viennese table at the end. They have so much food. Such a waste of money. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to do that. After the Churban Beis Hamikdash, you have to cut back on everything to show that we're not happy. We're not besimcha. The one exception to the rule is in Shulchan Aruch, Pesach night. Pesach night, you should take out the richest kelim and have everything. It should be beautiful. So we're afraid, Magen Avraham says, so we're afraid a person's going to get carried away. Such riches. And if he has a silver, a golden mashkoinis from a nochri, you're not allowed to use the other fellow's mashkin, but you're allowed to put it on the table on Pesach night, that it should look richer. We want to show that the derech eres, everything is derech eres. So Pesach night, he may get carried away and sin, so we wear a kittel, yaskalo yom amisa. We wear a kittel, the kittel is a beged mason. So that's why the Magen Avraham says that the minig is that one who's an avelis anyway, one who's an avelis, beis chodesh, doesn't have to wear a kittel. It's as if the Misa is in front of his eyes, so he doesn't have to have the kittel. According to the Vilna Goyen's reason, even one who's in Avela should also wear the beged lovan, also wear the kittel, because it's zecher to the chaluk lovan that the Vilna Goyen thinks that the Israel must have won when they were eating the Korban Pesach. Someone wrote all the hanhoggis of the stipler, so they have in a collection of all the hanhoggis. He was a plain, down-to-earth person. He wasn't looking for these fancy chumras and all kinds of things. So once one of the grandchildren was eating by him on Pesach night, so he asked them about wearing a kittel. He's an avelis. So they said, what's the issue? What's the issue? So the grandchild explained, well, it depends on the machlokes of the Magen Avraham, the Vilna Goyen. So he said, so what's the minig? So he said, the Mishnah Berurah. The grandson said, the Mishnah Berurah says that the avel doesn't wear the kittel because of Magen Avraham. So he said, okay, sure. Mishnah Berurah says, that's the minhag. He said, that's the minhag. We don't follow the Vilna Goyen. But according to the Vilna Goyen, even one who's in Avodah should also wear the chaluk lovan. It's interesting, the korbanos that they brought in the Shivas Yemei Miluim were for Aaron Avonov. Starting on the Yom HaShmini, the Miluim, they didn't bring for Aaron Avonov. They brought korbanos tzibur. Kach lucha egel ben boker, that was a korban yochid for Aaron. That was a korban hatzibur. And the Shivas Yemei Miluim, there were korbanos for Aaron Avonov together, korban hashutfim. It's interesting, the Gemara says a korban hashutfim, a few shutfim join together to bring a korban. The Gemara says, echad meinef ayideh kulam. When you do the tnufa on the chaz of a shayk, let's say few people join together to bring a shlamim. So you have to do tnufa on the chaz of a shayk. So you don't have, the Gemara learns that from a pasuk, you only do once tnufa. So you can't have, let's say, all of the shutfim are going to do tnufa b'vasachas. Your hand will be a chatzitza between my hand and the chaz of a shayk. And there isn't enough room that everybody should hold in a different location. So the Gemara says, echad meinef, and you can't do more than one tnufa. Gemara says, by korban hashut, echad meinef ayideh kulam. Only one does tnufa, and the others don't. So here the Tosefta points out what says in the Chumash, that here Aaron and Bonav all did the tnufa. They all did the tnufa. This was an exception to the rule. Then when they did smicha, so the Gemara says, also it's going to be a problem of chatzitza. You have to do smicha b'shtei yodah b'chol kach, you have to lean on the animal's head. So the Gemara says, if you have, let's say, a korban hashutvim is brought together by shutvim, so if the Lord do smicha b'vasachas, your hand will be a chatzitza between my hand and the animal's head. The head is not so big that there should be room for everybody to lean their hands on it. So your hand will be a chatzitza, so when they do smicha, there is no such halacha that you can't do more than one smicha. So each one of the shutvim has to do smicha b'fnei atzma. So the Ravid writes in his commentary on the Torah's Kohanim, that's probably what happened over here also. The pasuk says, Aaron and Bonav, the end of Tzav, Aaron and Bonav all did smicha on the korbanos. So the Ravid says they probably did the smicha b'zeh hazeh, because his hand will be chatzitza between my hand and the Rosh HaBehema. Rav Elba Soloveitchik thought perhaps he can say not like the Ravid. Why was it that the Tosefta points out that this was an exception to the rule regarding the tenufa? How come by a normal korban hashutvim, the din is echad meinef ayideh kulam, and here they all did tenufa? The halacha says you can't do more than one tenufa. So here it sounds like they all did one tenufa together. Your hand should be a chatzitza between my hand and the chaz of a shoyk. So Rav Elba thought the answer is, this shutvus over here is different from many other shutvus. Let's say three people joined together to buy a korban shlomin. So if I would have had more money, I would have bought my own korban shlomin. I can't afford it though. So three people chipped in together, each one only paid 1/3. 10 people chipped in together, each one paid 10%, and they bought together. So really, I'm an independent bialim from you. Each one is an independent bialim. So your hand is the chatzitza between my hand and the Rosh HaBehema. Here, there was a special hayruah shom and hashamayim that Aaron and Bonav have to bring these korbanos together in the Shivas Yemei Miluim. What would be if each one of the children wanted to bring his own? They wouldn't be yotzei. The din was they all have to. It was min hashamayim. It was a din. There has to be a korban al shutvim. So it's considered as if it's a different kind of shutvim. Not that they chose on their own to become shutvim, and each one is an independent bialim. Min hashamayim. It was nigzar. They become shutvim, so as if it's one big bialis together. So that's a Rav Elba thought that your hand wouldn't be a chatzitza between my hand and the Rosh and the Chaz of Ashoit. So they all did one tenufa together. And the other fellow's hand was not a chatzitza because it's all one shame bialim. Each one doesn't have an independent din bialim. So he thought, benegeir to the smicha also. They could all do smicha bevasachas, not like the Ravid suggests. Because the other one's hand would not be a chatzitza for my hand. It's a different kind of shutvus. Different kind of a shutvus over here. Smicha is on the head of the behemoth while it's alive. Tenufa is on the chaz of a shayk, no? Oh? Could be. I don't remember. Ah, the shok was burnt. Normally, tenufa is on the chaz of a shayk. Here is not. Okay. Al shok hayamin. So there's only tenufa on the chaz. You're right. Okay. Here on the Shmini Lemiluim, is the first time Amar the Kohen, that's one of the Eser HaTorahs, first time Amar the Kohen did Avodah. So there's a Rashi in the beginning of Yuma where Rashi writes that Kol Avodah Shmini Lebuloim was Mutal on Aaron. It was his responsibility that he should do all the Hakrovas. It's very difficult, Rashi, the Rashashi asks. It's against the Psukim in the Chumash. Look in Pasuk Tes, by Akriva Men Aaron Es Adam Elov, that the Bnei Aaron did the Kabbalah Sadam, the Halacha Sadam. It says the Bnei Aaron did the Avodah. How does Rashi write that all Avodah Shmini Lebuloim Mutar? Rashi writes as if it's like Yom Kippur, that all Avodahs Yom Kippur have to be done by the Kohen Gadol. So all Avodahs on Shmini Lemiluim had to be done by the Kohen Gadol. So the Rashashi has that kasha. So the Belt says that Rashi probably didn't mean to say that he has to actually do the Hakrobas, all the Avodahs, it's against the Pasuk. It means it had to be done under his supervision. He's supposed to oversee everything. But he didn't do the Avodahs. Unlike Karbonos all year long, that is not the responsibility of the... he doesn't have to be watching. He doesn't have to be watching when he do all the Hakrobas HaKarbonos. But here on Shmini Lemiluim, he has to be watching when he did it. Maybe that's what Rashi meant. One of the Karbonos that they brought on Shmini Lemiluim was a Shlomim for the Tzibur. When I saw Tadaba Lemur, they bring a Chatos. The Chatos is not Lechapora. The Soyer Rosh Chodesh, it was Rosh Chodesh Nissen. So the Soyer Rosh Chodesh was Lechapora. The first of the Yud Beis Nisim was Nachshon Ben Aminodim, and he also brought a Chatos. The Gemara calls it Chatos Nachshon. Chatos Nachshon as opposed to Chatos Chelev. Chatos Chelev means a Chatos that's Bo Lechaper, because the person ate Chelev B'Shogeg, who had Dinam, if he ate Chomets B'Pesach B'Shogeg, or if he was Machal Shabbos B'Shogeg, he ate on Yom Kippur. Whoever does an Avera B'Shogeg, which if he would have done it amazing, he would have Chayv Koris, is Chayv Chatos. So we'll call that kind of Chatos Chatos Chelev, that is Bo Lechaper, as opposed to Chatos Nachshon. It had to have his rika on four karnas on his bech, lamayla michut ha-sikra. He treated it like a chatas, but it wasn't l'chaper on any avera. So Rosh Chodesh was l'chaper. Oson salachem l'chaper al ha-mizbeach. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Yasira chatas darosh darash v'shev hi neisa rof. Which one was it? So he quotes from the Gemara Zvachim that it was the Soi Rosh Chodesh, because that's l'chaper on Thomas Migdash v'kadoshim. The other, there were three chatas that were brought. The Soyer Nachshon was not lechaper, and the korban for the Shmini Lemiluim was not lechaper. So Bnei Yisrael had to bring a series in lechatos, and then they had to bring also oila, and then they had to bring Rishava Ayel Ishlamim Lizbayach Lifnei Hashem. So it was a Shalmei Tzibur. We have a Shalmei Tzibur on Shavuos Kivsi Atzeres. So the Mishnah says, and Ezel Makom Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur Vashomes Akotchi Kotchim. Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur Akotchi Kotchim. So that's a question. Is that only a special din on Shavuos? Kipsi Atzeres is Kotchi Kotchim. Normally, Shalmei Yochid, when a private person brings a Shlomim, it's a Kotchim Kalim. And Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur is a Kotchi Kotchim. So is that a din by all Shalmei Tzibur? Or it's not a din? There are no other Shalmei Tzibur. There's only one Shalmei Tzibur is Kipsi Atzeres, that's all. But here, there was a Heroa Shoah of a Shalmei Tzibur. So the Pasuk says later, Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Aharon that they should eat Hanaseres Men HaMincha Yochel Aharon Avodah B'Makom Kadosh. They should eat the Shiori HaMincha. They did Kmitza on the Mincha. So they should eat Shiori HaMincha in Kotchi Kotchim. B'Makom Kadosh means in the Azorah, because the Mincha is a Kotchi Kotchim, so you have to eat it in the Azorah. Then he says, in the Besar HaShlamim, they should eat B'Makom Tohor. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, what do you mean by Makom Tor? And the first one they ate by Makom Tameh. What does it mean Makom Tor means? Makom Tor means not a Makom Kaddish. You can eat the Shalmei Tzibur b'chol Machne Yisrael. It's like in the Beis HaMikdosh. When you bring Kotchi Kotchim, you have to eat the Kohanim, have to eat it in the Azorah. When you bring Kotchim Kalim, so they can eat it b'chol Ho'ir. So here also, the Moshe Rabbeinu tells Bnei Aharon, they should eat Shiori HaMincha. Kuas Amincha Anoseres, it's in chapter Yud, Pasuk Yud Beis. Kuas Amincha Anoseres, after doing the Kmitza, Yechlo Matzis Eitzel HaMizbech Kikodosh Kadoshim Hi. What do you mean Eitzel HaMizbech in the Azorah? V'chalta Masa B'makom Kodosh, because it's Kotchi Kotchim. V'ez Chazei HaTnufa V'ashoy Kachuma from the Shlomim, Tochlu B'makom Tohor. Doesn't have to be B'makom Kodosh in the Azorah, because it's Kotchim Kalim. So the Achreinim asks that. This is a Gemara, Rashi quotes it. But it's a Gemara here, the Torah Tmeim quotes it. It's a Gemara in Zvachim Daf Nun Hei. That's what it says. Daf Nun Hey. So the Achrayim in the back of the Gemara raised the issue, but the Mishnah says in Ezel Mekomet that Ziv Cheshal Mitzibur Kotchim Kotchim. So the Pashtus is that's the Shal Mitzibur that you bring on Shavuos Kivtzi Atzeres. That's a pasuk. That's a Kotchim Kotchim. And this was a Hayrosh Shor Dik Shal Mitzibur. So this is Abis Long Yal Kotchim Kal. It's not a Kotchim Kotchim. That's what it says. That's what you see from the pasuk. How is it possible? It says at the end of Parshas Tzav, Pesach Hamayteshim Shivas Yamim Laila Vayoin. How is that possible? That they should stay there 7 days straight, Laila Vayoin. They don't go to sleep and they don't go to the bathroom. They don't go to eat. They're staying Shivas Yamim Laila Vayoin. Fed of Pesach Hamayt. So the Yerushalmi asks that. The Yerushalmi gives answers. Either means a little bit by Yom, a little bit by Laila. It's still next to the last pasuk in Parshas Tzav. Pesach Hamay Teshu Yomim V'Laila Shivas Yomim. Either means a little bit by Yom, 5 minutes in the daytime, 5 minutes in the nighttime, or the Rishonim has another suggestion. Yomim V'Laila means when Yom switches into Laila, when Laila switches into Yom. The Kohanim, Aaron and Bonav have to be Pesach Hamay between Shki and Tzeisa Kochavim. They have to be Pesach Hamay between Laila and Alos HaShachar. After Alos HaShachar is Yom, by Yerushalmi points out, there is no Ben HaShemashis in the morning. First it's nighttime, and then it becomes Al-Pidin Yom right away. At Alos HaShachar becomes Yom right away. And when Shkia takes place, it was Yom, and then it's Ben HaShemashis, twilight zone, and then it becomes Seisat Kochan. So they have to be Yom of Alayla when Yom switches into Laila, when Laila switches into Yom, that's when they have to be Pesach Almoy. So the Netziv writes in his commentary on the Shilt is that he thinks that the Shalom quoted by the Magen Avraham in the beginning of Aruch Chaim. So the Shalom says, it says V'hagisa bo yom v'alayla. You should learn Torah by yom v'alayla. The same expression that it says over here, Pesach hamayteish v'yom v'alayla. So how is that physically possible to learn Torah all day and all night yom v'alayla? So whatever he means over here, that's what it means over there. So that's why the Gemara in the Dorim says, the Gemara says if a person learns a little bit in the daytime, a little bit at nighttime, says Yotze the Din of Hagisa by Yom HaVelayla. Strictly speaking, the Gemara says when you say Kriya Shema, so you're saying three parshias from the Chumash. So that's Hagisa by Yom HaVelayla. You spent 3 minutes reciting the three parshias of Shema by Ma'ariv, and 3 minutes reciting the three parshias of Shema by Shachar, so you'd say Bagisa Yom HaVelayla. And then the Magen Avraham quotes the Shalom that a person should try to connect. This used to be the minig all over. And all the shuls, they daven mincha before the shkia, and then the balabatim would sit down and learn on Yankif, Mishnayis, something they would learn between Novi, whatever. They would learn between mincha and ma'ariv till Tzeisat Kochavim. They would connect Yom to Laila. So the Netziv says that idea that the Shalom says one should connect Yom to Laila with the Liman HaTorah is based on this Yerushalmi, that Pesach HaMoed Teshuva Yom HaLaila means that the Kohanim have to, Aaron and Bono have to be Pesach HaMoed when the Yom is joining with the Laila, when the Laila is joining with the Yom.
I mean, if I'm going to be the Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, 4 days and 40 nights,
what do you say there, what?
Moshe Rabbeinu after 40 days and 40 nights, so you didn't eat, drink, or sleep. Maybe here,
this
door,
the
Kohanim, you're able to do it.
Yerushalmi assumes they're not. They were not able to do it. Yeah. Yerushalmi says that it's not to be taken literally. Yerushalmi gave the two answers, a little bit by Yom, a little bit by Laila, or when Laila is connecting with Yom, and Yom is connecting with Laila. Yeah. Pasuk says in today's sedra, after Aaron did a whole hakrobas hakrobanis, that's the pasuk at the end of Sheni. Va'isa Aaron es yoreh balon va'ivorchem. He said yivrecha yoreh v'isa va'yered me'asos hachatos v'ho oilo v'hashlamim. So the Gemara has all of the halachas, most of the halachas of duchening in Masecha Soit and Perek Eilu Nemorim. The Mishnah lists off which mitzvahs of Amir have to be fulfilled in the original Hebrew, which mitzvahs of Amir can be fulfilled in translation. Kriya Shema Zamach Loikas HaTanayim, whether you're saying translation. Shimon Asi. Everybody agrees he can be yotzei in translation. All discussion, which mitzvahs of Amir? So it says about duchening. Duchening has to be in the original Hebrew. So the Gemara understands from the pasuk that duchening is supposed to take place at the conclusion of Akrovas Karbonis Tzibur. That's why Rabbi Yankev Hemden writes in his commentary on the tour, the Morik Tzio, that duchening bizmanazeh is obviously only midirabbanon, because we don't have any Hakrovas Karbonis Tzibur, and duchening is only at the conclusion of Hakrovas Karbonis Tzibur. By Vorchem, after having had, by Yerit, he had come down. That's when he did the duchening. Duchening is part of the avodah Beis Hamikdash. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this. Mishnah Berurah quotes it not in the Bir Halacha, not in the Shaar HaTzion, not in the Mishnah. He quotes it. He has an asterisk, and he puts it on the bottom of the page in a footnote in Siman Kuf Chav Ches, the one siman that has all the dinim of Nesias Kapayim. So he quotes Rabbi Yankev Hemden, and he says, with all due respect, it's against all the Gemaras. Muchach and the Gemaras and the Sifros that duchening bizman hazeh is their eyes. So the question is, all right, it's muchach and the Gemaras, but what about the other Gemara that duchening is only the conclusion of akrobus karbonus tzibur? So the Keren Oira is a sefer on the Mesichtas of Kotchim. Keren Oira was the younger brother of the Mishkan as Yankiv, and he learned together with his brother for many years. And then when the brother passed away, he was the Rav in Karlin. Rabbi Yankel Karlina, after Mishkan Yank passed away, so they appointed the Keren Oira as the Rav in the city, in Karli. So he writes in his Sefer on Saito that my brother already explained in the Mishkan Yank what's going on over here. That when we daven, Rav Soloveitchik got it on. He said it like this. The whole thing is not in the Mishkan Yank, Rav Soloveitchik got it on. We say in the weekday tefillah, we say Baruch Atah Hashem Shamea Tefillah. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Shmak Aleinu Chus V'Racham Aleinu Baruch Atah Hashem Shamea Tefillah. The next line we say, V'tzei Hashem Lokeh Ma'am Chisol Avis Filos, and please accept the prayers of the Jewish people. That's what we just said. Shmak Aleinu Chus V'Racham Aleinu Shamea Tefillah. What do you say again? V'tzei Ma'am Chisol Avis Filos. So Rav Soloveitchik explained, V'tzei means please accept the tefillahs as if we had brought a korban. Because the term Ritzui is a technical term that appears Ruba de Ruba in Tanakh in connection with Karbonus that Rav Soloveitchik got from the Baal HaTanya. Baal HaTanya writes like that statement. Minirtzo lo lechaper olav goes on Karbonus. Lo yirotzo lo. People who lo yirotzo. So Ritzui usually is a term, most of the time it appears in Tanakh in connection with Karbonus. The Baal HaTanya emphasizes this. He talks in the Geres HaTshuva, in the end of the Tanya, in the Geres HaTshuva, he talks about, there's a pasuk in Yishai, Ezet Som Evcharehu. So the pasuk speaks about Ritzui on a Tainus. The Tainus will be Meratze. So he says, yeah, based on the Gemara, Miat Chel Bevidami, one of the, all the Tanoim and Amoraim used to add on, Tachnunim Achat Filosa. The Mishnah says in Brochus, and it's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos also, Ozet Filosa Keba, Ein Filosa Tachnunim. What does it mean? Osit tefilosa keb ain't tefilosa tachanunim. What does it mean? So the Gemara Brachas has two interpretations. The one pshat is, person always davens at the 7 o'clock minyan. Always davens at the 7:35 minyan. So that's no good. You have to daven vasikin. Every day is going to be a different time.
Or
8:30 minyan, whatever. 9:30 minyan. So that's not right. You have to daven every day vasikin. That's one pshat. You're not supposed to daven keva always at the same time. You should daven according to when sun rises. Then the Gemara has another pshat. If you just say the text that it says, the fixed text that's printed in the Siddur, is ain't tefilasa tachnunim. So what do you want him to say? He should invent a new tefillah every day. Gemara says, yeah, a person should always add on tachnunim, achat tefilasa. He has a final today, he has a date today, he has an interview for a job today, or he has an exam today. So whatever is the tzorech of the occasion, you should add on. You shouldn't, or Eretz Yisrael is b'sakana, the things happening in the world. So your tefillah should correspond to what's happening in the world. You shouldn't just say, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah composed the text that's noig throughout all the generations. That was with Ruach HaKodesh, they did that. But still, you have to add on whenever there's something special. So the Gemara gives different tefillahs that the Tanoim and Amoraim added on, tachnunim achat tefillosa. The Gemara says one of the Amoraim, when he would be Yoshed B'Tainus, he would add on at the end of the Tonus by Mincha. He said, "Miot Chel Bevidomi." If a person fasts the whole day, so he loses an ounce or two of his weight, and because he didn't eat any food, so he has less. Usually, when you eat food, so your body produces more blood, So because he wasn't eating today, so the body produced less blood. So mi etchel bibedame should be accepted by Kodesh Baruch as if I had brought a carbon and I had been zerik the dam on the mizbech and I had been burnt the chelev on the mizbech. So that's what the Baal HaTanya says. The reason why the pasuk in Yeshaya refers to ritzui on a tainis tibur is because it's also like a carbon. Ritzui ruba de ruba of the time is mentioned in Tanakh in connection with karbonis. So that's what the Binyan Shleimer, Rav Shleimer LeVilna, was a dayan in Vilna in the late 1800s when they were printing the Vilna Shas. He was the magia on the Vilna Shas. So Rav Shleimer LeVilna writes in his sefer, that's the reason why we say, our tefillah should be accepted as if we brought a karbonis. Because if you don't bring karbonis tzibur, so you can't duchen. So that's really the thing of it say, that's what it means anyway. But when you want to duchen, so then we emphasize it, so we add on that piyut in the middle of it say, our prayer should be pleasant, should be accepted, ki olacha karbon. So when a private person davens tefillas hayochid and he says ritzei, so the tefillah is accepted by Kodesh Baruch as if he had brought a korban yochid. When the chazan davens tefillas hatzibur, it's not just the chazan says Hashmona Esrei and the people answer kedusha. No, the chazan is offering tefillas hatzibur. Like there's a concept of korban yochid and korban tzibur, so there's a tefillas hayochid and a tefillas hatzibur. That's what the Shilta Giborim on the side of the Rif in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah points that out. So when the Chazan davens the Tefillah Satzibur and he says Ritzei, he converts the Tefillah Satzibur into a Korban Tzibur. Oh, so at the conclusion of Hakrovas, this is Min HaTorah. This is Min HaTorah. So at the conclusion of Hakrovas Korban Tzibur, that's when you duchen. So that's how it's possible to have duchening bizman hazeh. So that's what the Keren Ori quotes from his brother, the Mishkanes Yankif, that even though there's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban regarding Tefillah B'chol Yom, so the Rambam's opinion is that the daven once a day, every day, is a chiyuv deraisa, and the Ramban disagrees. The fact that you daven three times a day, the fact that you have a specific nusach tefillah, that's midirabbanan. Tefillah is midirabbanan, but the obligation to daven at least a day every day, that obligation is minatar. So the Ramban disagrees. He says the whole chiyuv tefillah is only midirabbanan, only beis tzorah. If it's tefillah beis tzorah, then it's minatar, and the Ramban is mesupik whether it makes sense to count it as a separate mitzvah or not. Maybe common sense dictates like that. If you believe in God, my father loves me, and if I need some money to buy a home, I should. Of course I'm going to ask my father, can you lend me $100,000, and I'll pay it back over the course of the next 10, 20 years. So of course he's going to take care of my needs. So the Ramban is Masupik, does it make sense to count tefillah b'eis tzorah as a separate mitzvah? He's saying, no, that's tough pashut. If you have emunah, if you believe in God, that God exists, and God has hashgacha pratis, and he knows what's happening, and he loves us, and he cares, of course you're going to daven. Doesn't make it, you don't have to count it as a mitzvah. That's what the Ramban is mesupin, whether it should be counted as a separate mitzvah. So the Mishkanes Yankev writes, even though the Ramban holds that the chiv tefillah every day is only the Rabbanon, but bizman hazeh, if you want a duchen, then tefillah b'tzibur is deraisa. Tefillah b'chol yom is only the Rabbanon, but tefillah b'tzibur, if you don't have tefillah b'tzibur, you don't have any chazaras hashatz. So you can't duchen on the level of deraisa. It's based on this pasuk. Yisaron is yod avalam by ivorchim, by yered miaso sachatos v'ho'ilo. All of the mepharshim talk to sipsa chachamim, and the others talk about the Rashi. Rashi writes, Yisaron is yod avalam by ivorchim means birchas kohanim yivarechecha yoyer yisa. So what is Rashi saying? Let him say birchas kohanim. Shine. We know what birchas kohanim is. Of course, yivarechecha yoyer yisa. What does he have to spell that out? She said, "Vayivrochem." See, it means "Birchas Kohanim." Doesn't mean he said, "V'noyim Hashem Elokeichem Yiratzon Shetish Shchidim B'Maisi Yadechem." That's the other pasuk Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu gave a bracha, said Yiratzon Shetish Shchidim B'Maisi Yadechem Lihi Noyim. But over here, once Rashi says Yisaron of Ziola, "Vayivrochem," he didn't see a skapaim and he gave a bracha. So "Birchas Kohanim" Sashem. So we know what "Birchas Kohanim" is. So they give different suggestions. What is Rashi driving at over here? So Rav Herzog used to be the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. So many years ago, I remember they printed in Hapardes, he gave a drasha, it must have been in America, he gave a drasha on this Rashi. So he said that the Mishnah says that in Migdosh, they didn't say Amen after Yibrech Hashem Yishmarech. We say Amen. Yashem Parah Melech Yichanecho Amen. Yishem Parah Melech. We say Amen three times. In Migdash, they didn't say anything after the in between the first and the second and the third brachas. They just said at the end, they said something. So Migdash, everything was considered one big bracha. Bigvulin, Chutzla Migdash, they were treated as three different brachas. So Rashi here means to say that since it was Adayin Lo Sharsa Hashchina, later it says, Vayera Kvod Hashem Al Kol Ha'am, Atetze Eish Melefnei Hashem Atochel Al HaMizbeach, Vayakam Vayaron V'yiplal Pneim. That was later, the next pasuk. But at the time that he was duchening, it was Adayin, they didn't see the Shechina yet. The whole Shiva Simei HaMiluim, they didn't see any Hashvas Hashchina. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aaron, you should be makvid karbonis, if you'll be makav the karbonis, then you'll be hashvas hashchina. So since it was in Migdosh, it was in the Mishkan, what is before hashvas hashchina, so had a din like bigvulin, so that's what Rashi means, perhaps, that he said it is three different brachas, three different psukim, and there were mafsik in between. But after hashvas hashchina, then he wouldn't have called it yivirechecha yoyer yisa. All three would be considered one bracha. That was an Iluyish suggestion. Others give different suggestions.
Why is it dependent?
Why is it that in Migdosh is treated as one bracha and Bigvulin is treated as three? That's a question on the Mishnah. Why is that, Sir Rav? Herzog gave a drasha on that also. Why that should be so? So he thought that some of the brachas are in Gashmias and the brachas are in Ruchnias. So Chutz l'Migdosh, we distinguish between Ruchnias and Gashmias. And in the Migdosh, everything blends in together. They gave a whole arichas on that, what that means. Okay?
Yeah, but even with Mishnah, you have even more minutes only once a day, or you can still be, you can turn tefillos multiple times in one day.
The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that in the end of the third parak, you're only obligated to duchen once a day, every day. And even if, let's say, in Eretz Yisrael, I daven by the first minyan, I duchen, and then as I'm about to leave to go to work, the second minyan doesn't have a kind, yes, mina duchen, I'm not mechayev to duchen more than once a day. The Mishnah says you duchen on Yom Kippur four times, you duchen Shachris and Musaf and Mincha Nila, so that's only a takana with the Rabbanim. And I tell you, you're not mechayev to duchen a second time, even if the tzibur requests it. You're not mechayev, whether it's the same tzibur, a different tzibur, you're not mechayev to duchen a second time. That's what Ritzeh means. Every day people are running to work. On Yontif, we want to emphasize the theme of Ritzeh B'Am Chesel of Esfilosim, so we add the Pir, the B'Sara Melech HaSira Seyd. But it's self-understood anyway, because that's what the first line of Ritzeh means. Ritzeh B'Am Chesel of Esfilosim should be accepted as a korban.
What's the reason that in
Eretz
Yisrael, even on Yom Tov, they don't say
the Pir? Don't know. Probably because they do it every day, and every day they don't say it.
I think they do say the Pir, they just don't change the Chasimah.
Yeah, they don't say
uh-huh.
It.
It
depends
on the
Gila, but most
don't
say no.
Uh-huh. Don't know. Because all year long, they used to do it with adversaries. So they say the same on Yom Tov. With or without it, it means the same thing. Because the piyut, the sarah, the chasira, say, the kol korban, just spelling out the theme of the first line, it would say, b'am chisol v'sfilosam, means the same thing.
Rabbi also mentioned previously there's halacha, but you don't really treat the tefillah that works with the karban, right? So there's something about if you do it just, then when you go back, if you're repeated or make a karban.
What do you say? We don't treat the tefillah as a karban.
I mentioned another halakha where I don't remember either. They were saying that inshallah, like they know that tefillah of the korban, that even though we're davening right now, if I say parsha chaka, the Beit HaMikdash is going to rebuild.
I still have to bring the karban. That's a different thing. That's not tefillah, is not karban. Kol oisek b'parsha chatz kila hikra chatos is ke'ilu. But it's not 100%. If the Beis HaMikdash will be built during my lifetime, I still have to bring the chatas. That is correct. But this is another concept, that tefillah, if he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, accept my tefillah as if I brought a korban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept it as if he brought a korban. And just like there's a korban yochin and a korban tzibah, so there's a tefillah sayochin and a tefillah satzibah. The tefillah satzibah will be converted into a korban tzibah. So that's what enables duchening. That's the keren orah based on the Mishkan as Yankah. And the Binyan Shlomo has the same thing. Shlomo Levon has the same thing in his Jewish. He adds on. That's what it means with Sarah. That's what we add on with Sarah. Pasuk tells of the terrible tragedy that Bnei Aharon, Nadav Avihu, did some kind of an Avera, and they were punished Min HaShamayim with Misa B'dei Shamayim. So usually the din is that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be Metame even to design Kreifim, but a Kohen Hedyot is not only permitted to, but obligated to. There's a Machlokes, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel on three Psukim in Chumash, whether the Choyva or Rishus. So one of the three Psukim is Lo Yitama, beginning at Parsha Samor, Lachos HaPsula Shelohos HaLeish, Lo Yitama. So Rabbi Shmuel says Rishus, and Rabbi Kiva says Choyva. So that's the Ramban over here, Estak Kasha Ramban on Chumash. Every so often the Ramban of Ayik records verbatim from the Ravid in his Pirush on the Torah Skanim without mentioning that it's from the Ravid. I guess everybody had a Ravid, so they all knew. Otherwise, he's a major plagiarist. He quotes chunks verbatim from the Ravid. So apparently everybody knew that it's from the Ravid. So the Ravid asked that Kasha. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu tell Allah's of Isama that they should be metame to their brother? Aaron Akain was a kind God, and he's not even metame to design Kareivim, but the brothers are metame to design Kareivim. They were Kain Hegel. So the Rabbit has two terutz. So one terutz he gives is it was a Hira Shor, Shalola Arbev Simchasu Shalmakim, Shmini Lemiluim, and all of Klal Yisrael are celebrating. Such a, I imagine, a Chagas Micha. Times a thousand. They're having a Chanukah Samishkan. So the Kohanim are going to be metami to the maze, then it's going to take forever till they're going to become Tor. You're going to foul up the whole Mishkan. They didn't have so many Kohanim. So one suggestion he gives is a Hayrasha, Shalala Arbev Simchas Shalmak. Then he gives another Teretz. The Ramban quotes the both Teretz, and then he gives another Teretz. Then maybe since they all needed Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha, maybe they all had a Kedushas Kain Gadol Benegeir to this din. Even though they were Kohanim had Yoitim, and he couldn't be makrib the karbonis on Yom Kippur. Only Aaron HaKohen was the Kohen Gadol. Allah Zavi Sama were not Kohen Gadolim, but they all had to have Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha. Because when they were born, the father wasn't yet a Kohen. When a child is born and his father was a Kohen, when his mother became pregnant with him, so he's naturally a Kohen. Here nobody was a Kohen. So Aaron HaKohen became a Kohen later in life. So he had to have Mashiach, and all the children had to have Mashiach. Without Mashiach, they wouldn't be Kohanim at all. So since they all had Mashiach, so maybe the Mashiach gives them, endows them with a special Kedushas Kain Gadol, when they get to Malamais. That's perhaps what it says, the Pshuto Shal Mikra. It says, Vayomer Moshe al Aharon, Lolas al Isam Banov, Rashechem al Tifro, Vedechem lo Sifromu, don't observe Avelus, Pesach Hamoy lo Seitzu, Pentamusi, Kishemin, Mishchas Hashem, Aleichem. Because they had Mashiach. Maybe that's the Pshuto Shamikha, because they all had Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha, so they all had the din of Kedusha's Kain Gadol Benegeir to this aspect of the Kain Gadol. Kain Gadol has a whole list of dinim that don't apply to a Kain Hedyot.
Maybe the number of times that if you have Mashiach, that's
the
dinim of
the
Kain Gadol,
the
dinim of
a
Minui for Kain Gadol.
Right. So Rav Chaim explains this, what this Ravid is talking about. The Gemara in Yuma, right before the last perek. Last perek in Yuma is about the Chamisha Inuim, that Anoik Bizman is that. The rest of Yuma is all about Avodas HaKarbonas, Avodas Yom HaKippurim. So towards the end of the, next to the last perek, the Gemara discusses there, one daf Gemara, what are the dinim of the Mashuach Mechama? Mashuach Mechama had some of the dinim like a Kain Gadol and some of the dinim like a Kain Hedyot. What kind of an animal is the Mashuach Mechama? So Rav Chaim explained that he thought, he had rayas from this, he thought that a Mashuach Melchama is not a separate Kedushas Kain Gadol. There aren't three status, there are three different madregas. Kain Gadol, Kain Hedyot, Mashuach Melchama is in the middle. He thought there's a Kain Gadol and there's a Kain Hedyot. Mashuach Melchama has Kedushas Kain Gadol because he has Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha. You have to do Mashiach on him. He has Kedushas Kain Gadol, but he doesn't have the Minu, he doesn't have the Shem Kain Gadol. The Gemara, the Mishnayos talk about firing a Kohen Gadol. There was a Kohen Gadol, so usually you retire a Kohen Gadol. He's an old man, so you appoint a younger person. And sometimes you fire the Kohen Gadol, and he no longer has the status of a Kohen Gadol. If he does an Avera or something, then it's a bizoyan for Klal Yisrael, so you fire him. So the Tosis in Yuma, in the first pairing of Yuma, quotes Yerushalmi, who fires him? The same people who hired him. He's Mismanah B'Peh, and he's Mistalik B'Peh. the same people who gave him the minu in the first place, who gave him the shem kain gadol, they're the ones who confirm him. Who are they? So Tosis is not sure whether the Sanhedrin or Echav HaKohanim. We usually assume Sanhedrin. Tosis writes Sanhedrin or Echav HaKohanim. So there's such a thing as a Kedushas Kain Gadol. For many years, for many generations, Kedushas Kain Gadol was endowed by having Meshicha, Meshem, and Amishcha. Towards the end of the Bais Rishon period, the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayom, Yoshio HaMelech v'Zgoinis the Luchas, Goinis the Orim with the Luchas, with the Shem and Amishcha. So, after that period in time, how do they ever appoint a new Kain Gadol if there's no more Shem and Amishcha? So the Gemara learns after the Pesukim, there's Ribei B'Gadim. You can appoint a Gadol by his putting on the seven big, by the Shemayna B'Gadim for 7 days. He puts on the Shemayna Big Day Kain Gadol for 7 days and he does Akrabas Akarbonus. And he has a slightly lower status of the Kain Gadol from a Kain Gadol of Meshicha B'Shem and Amishcha. The Mishnah says, and ain't vain. Mishnah in the end of the first parak of Megillah says, "Ein bein kain mashuch b'shem and emeshcha v'kain merube begodim ala par habo al kol ha-mitzvahs." The par kain gadol in Parshas Vayikra says, if a hedyot, if a plain person is mechal Shabbos b'shogeg, he has to bring his bo'asira. If the melech is mechal Shabbos b'shogeg, he brings soyer nasi. If the bezna gadol made a mistake and Rabbi Yisrael violated and nisachil Shabbos, you have to bring par hel and davar shel tzibur. And if the Kohen Gadol was Mechal Shabbos B'Shogeg, he brings Par Kohen Gadol. So that in the Par Kohen Gadol, the Mishnah says, only applies if he was a Kohen Gadol who was Moshuch B'Shem and Amishcha. After the generation of the Yoshio HaMelech, that there was no longer the Shem and Amishcha was Nignaz with the Oran, with the Tzinsenes Amon. So after that period of time, they only appointed a Kohen Gadol Adem Merubi B'Gadim, so he wouldn't have that Parsha of Ribui B'Gadim. So that's what Abchaim Soloveitchik explained. The Gemara there has a Machloikas in Din, right before the last perek in Yuma, the end of the next to the last perek, so the Gemara is machlekes in exactly how many of the dinim of the Kain Gadol apply to the Kohen Moshuch Muhammad. Is he machzir as haratzeach? Let's say a harik b'shoigig has to go to Ari Mikla. So it's possible that you have three Kohanim Gedolim. You could have five Kohanim Gedolim. One guy was appointed and then he retired. They didn't fire him. If they fire him, it's not a Kain Gadol anymore. Let's say they didn't fire him. He retired. Then they appointed another Kain Gadol, and he retired also. So he can have three Kohanim Gedolim. So when the Ratzach Bishgoigeg is in the Ari Miklat, and one of the Kohanim Gedolim dies, you don't have to wait till all of them die. If one of them dies, it's enough. He's Machzis HaRatzach. So what if the Moshuch Muhammad dies? He has a Kedushas Kain Gadol, but he doesn't have a Shem Kain Gadol. So Gemara discusses it. How many of the dinim of the Kain Gadol apply to the Moshuch Muhammad? Not all of them. Some of them do, and some of them don't. So Abchaim said, the Moshuch Muhammad is the person who has Kedushas Kain Gadol, but he doesn't have the Shem Kain Gadol. They didn't give him the title, but they had to do Meshicha, otherwise he's not Moshuch Muhammad. That's where Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Rav Soloveitchik's father, gave a drosha once at a Chag HaSmicha that's printed. It must have been Chof Aleph Adar, that's always when the Chag HaSmicha is. So it must have been these Parshias, must have been Parshias Amor. So he was discussing, how did they have, he said that in,
MR is always after Pesach.
It's always after Pesach, okay. So he was discussing, in Josephon, it says that Yehuda HaMakabi was a Moshuch Muhammad. So it's a question if it's true. Okay. So if one should assume that it is true, how could it be a Moshuch Muhammad? There was no Shem and Amishcha in the Bayi Sheni. Yehuda HaMakabi wasn't in Bayis Rishon. It was in the end of the period of Bayis Sheni. The Chashmonaim were victorious about a little over 200 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. So there was no Shem and Amishcha. So how can they have a Moshuch Muhammad? So the Minchas Chinuch talks about this kasha. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik gave a whole drosha. So he said over this whole word from Rav Chaim that there is no such animal as a Moshuch Muhammad. There's a Kain Gadol and Kain Hedyot, and then the guy has a little bit yet, a little bit no. No. The Moshuch Muhammad has Kedushas Kain Gadol, but he doesn't have the Shem Kain Gadol. So he said, if you have a person who will be Merubah B'Begadim, he'll have the full din of a Kain Gadol. So if Yesh B'Chal Masai Mona, so for sure he can serve as the Moshuch Muhammad. So this was his suggestion. Maybe that when they wanted to have a Moshuch Muhammad, the Bayi Sheni, so maybe they gave him the whole status of the Kain Gadol. And Mimela, Yesh B'Chal Masai Mona, he can function as the Moshuch Muhammad. So that's a suggestion that the Ramban quotes from the Raivin. That maybe since Kishemin Mishchas Hashem Aleichem, since they all had Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha, so they all had a Kedushas Kohen Gadol, even though the Minui, the Hashem, the Kriya Shem of Kohen Gadol was only Aaron, not on the sons. So maybe this din of not to be metami to design Kraivim, the Moshuch Muhammad is all muzar on that. That's what the Gemara says there towards the end of Yuma. Moshuch Muhammad is not allowed to be metami to design Kraivim. So maybe that's the pshat over here. They had the din like a Moshuch Muhammad. So Rav Chaim explained Mishnayos like this. He explained a whole bunch of other din and based on this idea. What was the issue? What was the pilpul? Sirachatos darosh darash Moshe v'hinei sarof v'yiktzof al b'nei Aharon. Moshe Rabbeinu was upset why they burnt the Sawyer Rosh Chodesh. I was instructed they should eat it banina, so why didn't they follow the din? So Aaron HaKoyen argued out with Moshe Rabbeinu and he said, Doris Mishol lo yalfinon. The Sawyer Rosh Chodesh is a din l'doris. The Soyer Nachshon and the Soyer of the Shmini the Miluim, that was only Hayrosha, that was once in the history of the world. So Moshe Rabbeinu was told to Hayrosha, Baninus Yochlua, they should eat the Korbanus even though they were in a state of Baninus. So you can only learn out, there's a in the Midah Shatarna Dreshes Bem, there's a Midah of Kalvachaymer. The first Midah is Kalvachaymer. Kalvachaymer is not only Minei Bey, Kalvachaymer Din Echad Lachavera. You make a Kalvachaymer from Shen Veregel to Karen. Karen to Shemiragi, you can learn on the Kavachamah from one din to the other. Shagazari points out, he has a whole tshuva in the section on Chodosh, so there's a Kavachamah, Minei Yubay, and then there's a Kavachamah, Midin Echel Lachavera. Kavachamah, Midin Echel Lachavera, or Mamatzinu is not mentioned, that's the most common Midah Shatar and Rosh Hashanah that we use today. Kolotar Kula is Madama Zain Milsa the Milsa. Madama Milsa the Milsa is Mamatzinu. That's a Machlokes Rishonim and Achrainim. Which one of the midas is Mamatzinu? The some hold that Mamatzinu is part of the midah of Kavachaymer. Kavachaymer is a Mamatzinu with a twist on top of it. And others say the Mamatzinu is included in the midah of Binyanav. Others say no, Binyanav is only that the words in the Chumash have the same meaning, but not that the ideas blend in to make one big picture. I call upon them, everybody agrees, there is a midah of Mamatzinu, there is a midah of Kavachaymer, Midina Chalachavera. Why? It's all based on the assumption. All the dinim fit into one big pattern. So this halacha, that all halachas fit into one pattern, that's only the dinim of the duras fit into one big pattern. But when you have a hirashah, obviously it doesn't fit into the pattern. It's only once in the history of the world. So that's why Aaron HaKohen tainid, duras mishol, lo yafina. Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to tell Bnei Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu told them to tell the Kohanim they should eat the mincha baninus, they should eat the chatas baninus, the chata, the sorei nachshon, and the sorei of shmini limlum. He was never told explicitly that they're permitted to eat the sorei rosh chodesh. That's a korban ledoros. So to make a mamatzinu, since I was told they should eat the sorei nachshon, the chatas nachshon, baninus, who are dinami, they should be allowed to eat the sorei rosh chodesh. No, so Aaron HaKohen said the doros mishol lo yafinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu was masking by Ita Bienov. So Moshe Rabbeinu was masking with Aaron HaKohen. The Vilna Gaon quotes from the Zohar an interesting concept that Moshe Rabbeinu represents Torah Shebichsav and Aaron HaKohen represents Torah Shebaal Peh. That Moshe Rabbeinu was told they should eat baninus. So that's what he was told. He said over. And Aaron HaKohen made a kavachomer. It says when you give Maaseh Sheni on Erev Pesach of the fourth year, and Erev Pesach of the seventh year, he's supposed to recite Vidoi Maaseh. So he said, "Lo biyartim imenu b'tomei, lo echalte biyartim imenu." I didn't eat the Maaseh Sheni in the state of Aninus. So Aaron HaKohen made a kavachomer. If you're not allowed to eat Maaseh Sheni in the state of Aninus, kavachomer, there should be a din l'doros that you're not allowed to eat any karbanos b'aninus. So how come you were told that baninus yachlua? So must be that's a hayrashah. So hayrashah is a yetzim in a klal. It doesn't fit into the whole pattern. So the hayrashah should only apply to the kachishah. Shouldn't apply to the kachidaris. That's how the Gemara quotes in Zvachim, the whole debate between Moshe and Aaron. Then Aaron HaKohen, then Moshe Rabbeinu is vayita b'yenach. He was masking with Aaron. So Aaron represents Torah Shebaal Peh. Moshe Rabbeinu represents Torah Shebichsav. Interesting, Einfach. And the Kal V'chaymeh, which was a midah of Torah Shebaal Peh, was recorded in the Chumash. The Chumash now writes, the Chumash takes the Torah Shebaal Peh, Drasha, Aaron HaKohen, Kal V'chaymeh from Lo Yachalta B'Yoinim Imenu, You're not allowed to eat in the state of aninus. So ma'aser sheni, so kavuchim, you're not allowed to eat korbanos. So the chumash records it. But the kran ha'osik ke'ela ha'ita b'yeni Hashem. That was the kavuchim that he said. So the chumash now recorded it. It just became Torah shebichzav. But originally b'shas ma'aser, it was all Torah shebal peh.
So what about the pasuk that only said Aaron, like sugi yayin?
No. It says it was told to Aaron, but Rashi says it was told to Moshe. The opening Rashi says everything was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. Mushim kvodu shel Aaron, so it says it was told to Aaron also. But it was really, it's recorded in the Chumash because it was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, this din that you're not allowed to eat Ma'atusheni in the state of Aninus. How long does the person have the status of Aninus? So the Gemara says the Pharisee, even after the Kvura, until the end of the day, has a din of aninus. He even has in aninus laila, the night following also, but that's a machlokes in the Gemara. We pass on that, that's only aninus laila, is only the Rabbanim, because when Aaron said, v'chalti chattas hayayim, hayayim v'lo halaylo. He said, I'm in a state of aninus. He said, v'chalti chattas. Even though I'm a kohen gadol, I'm allowed to be makriv karbanos in the state of aninus, but I'm not allowed to kohen gadol, it's makriv v'ayin v'ayin v'ayin. That's why I said, v'chalti chattas. Hakrabi can do baninas, kain gadol, but he can't do achila baninas, and he only said hayam, hayam velo halaylo. There is a difficult pirush hamishnayis. The Rambam writes in three different places in the standard editions that are printed in the Gemaras of the pirush hamishnayis LaRambam. So the Rambam writes in three different places that the din of a kohen is not allowed to eat korbanos in the state of aninas, you're not allowed to eat ma'aser sheni in the state of aninas. The Rambam writes in three places up until the kvura. After the Kvur is mut. So that's against the Gemara. The Farish against the Gemara. There's such a Rashi in Zvachim says, the Einan is not allowed to be Makar Kabbanus up until the Kvur. So Taisus argues with the Rashi, it's against. In other places Rashi writes it, so the Shagasari writes it, the Rashi is Shver, it's against the Gemara. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik told over this story. He went to be Menachem Oval, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, when his mother passed away. So they wrote that he was sitting there and talking, learning for 2 hours at the Lubavitcher Rebbe in Hilchos Avelos, Hilchos Aninus. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe told him this Rambam. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, there is no such Rambam. So the Rebbe said, no, there is a Rambam. So he said, there is no such Rambam. So he said, I'll show you. And he started to get up. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, I pushed him down. I said, don't be matriarch yourself. There is no such Rambam. Don't waste your time. So a week after the Shiva was over, so the Lubavitcher Rebbe sent Rabbi Soloveitchik a letter. So he sent him a Xerox copy of Kapach's new translation of the Pirush HaMishnayis LaRambam. All three places where it says in our edition that the Rambam writes he's not allowed to eat the Ma'aser Sheni in the state of Aninus up until the Kvura. So all three places, the Rambam himself corrected it and he changed it. He's not allowed to eat all day long. So in the standard edition, it says what the Lubavitcher Rebbe said over from the Rambam. In the Kapach's edition, he used the corrected manuscript of the Rambam, that the Rambam changed it. By the din is that an Einan is not allowed to do mitzvahs. Einan is not allowed to do mitzvahs. So there, that's only up until the Kvur. So the Rishonim ask, how come there's a difference? So some Rishonim presented brachas, Mishameis Mutal Lefonov. Some Rishonim presented as if it's a question, as if it's a where machloikas. So by Karbonis when Machmer, mitzvahs were Mekel. The only potter for mitzvahs up until the Kvur, and Karbonis y Machmer Boam. Rav Soloveitchik didn't like the way those Rishonim presented it. So he said, they're two different dinim. He said, in Yerbedei, it says on top of the Pesh, Hilchos Aninus. So he says, it's a mistake. It shouldn't say Hilchos Aninus. It should really say, Hilchos Misha Mesa Muta Lefanov. It's a different thing. Aninus Lechud, Aninus is even after the Kvura. The whole Yom Rishon is Aninus. Misha Mesa Muta Lefanov is a different din. Eino Echol Basa, Eino Shersa Yain. He's not permitted to do mitzvahs. They're not the same thing. We confuse them because we call it Bikitzer, who wants to say Hilchos Misha Mesa Muta Lefanov. He say it in one word, Hilchos Aninus. So we confuse the term of Aninus over here with the concept of Aninus over there. But they're really two different dinim of Aninus. So that's the story that they printed about Rav Soloveitchik being Menachem Oval, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The fellow, one of the people who drove, the one who drove Rabbi Soloveitchik to the base of Oval, the one who told him that the Lubavitcher Rebbe was sitting Shiva, was not so learned an individual, so he didn't hear what they were talking about. So he said, he thinks they were talking about whether a kohen is permitted to eat truma in a state of aninus. There's nothing to discuss. The Gemara says, a kohen is permitted, they're mishnayis, that's no question. They were discussing eating Maaseh Sheni in the state of Aninus. Aninus means up until the Kvura. Aninus means all day long. But there's no question whether a kohen is permitted or prohibited to eat truma in the state of Aninus. That's Mishnah's like that. Aninus, an oina may eat truma. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he said in the letter, so he apologized why he said the Rambam says. He should have said the Pirush HaMishnah. Because Rav Soloveitchik said there is no such Rambam. He meant the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnah.
Right. Can a regular calling be mafir?
No, there'll be puzzle. The Mishnah in Zvachim says, Shchita k'sher bizar, if a noinen shechts is good, but if a noinen does Kabbalah halacha zrika, it's puzzle. You have to bring the korban over again.
Exactly.
Only Kain Gadol, yeah. Only one is Makar Voinen, is the Kain Gadol, Kain Hed Yit not. I don't remember, you have to look in the Gemara. The Gemara discusses which dinam of the Kain Gadol will carry over to the Meshuch Muhammad, which not. And some of the dinam are mutal b'machloikas, yeah. Right after the incident of the death of the Bnei Aharon, the Torah records the prohibition, the Ayim Shecha Al Teish B'Vayachim Al Almoy. Al Shasui is not allowed to be Makriv Karbonis. A Shikra is not allowed to be Makriv Karbonis. Then the Torah says, L'Havla Ben HaKadosh Ben HaChol means if a Shikra will be Makriv Karbonis, it'll be possible. The Avodah will be Mechulelis. L'Havla Ben HaKadosh Ben HaChol, Avodah Mechulelis. The Karbon will be possible. You have to do it over again. Well, Lahoris is Bnei Yisrael is called Achukim. What do you mean, Lahoris? So the Gemara says Lahoris means that Shikar is also Bahiru. Rashi quotes it from the Torah's Kahanim, but it's Gemara's like that. So Gemara increases that just like a Shikar is also Lahakru Karbon, so to a Shikar is also the Paskan Shaitas. The Gemara says Rav, when he gave a Shir, he would always be dripping with Piske Haloch in the middle of the Shir. He'd always get a psak on all. So Rav, when he made Kiddush on Yontif, he wouldn't give a shir the rest of the day because he shos a revis. He drank a revis, yeah, and said, now about a paskin. Other Amoraim could give a shir. They said a pilpul. They didn't say anything halacha l'mais. I remember years ago, there was a bris in the yeshiva. One of the rabbis had a bris. So in the middle of the Suda was in the cafeteria. So the rabbi was going around giving everybody schnapps to wish him l'chaim. So I had a drink of schnapps. So then, I said I can't take any schnapps, I have to give a shir. They gave another Rebbe schnapps, so he drank the schnapps. So he said, you don't have to give a shir. Only Shechter gives a shir. So he says, well, yeshiva is learning Kiddushin then. So he said, Rabbi Shechter, when he learns Kiddushin, he always says what it says in Ebenezer. That was true. My students had Ebenezer, and I always said halacha l'maisa. In my shir, they don't even know that there is a Shulchan Aruch on Masechus Kiddushin. He felt that was the highest level of learning. Torah Lishma, they don't even know, they think Shulchan Aruch is only on Aruch Haim. They don't even know there is a Shulchan Aruch on Maseches Kiddushin. So that's not the prohibition. There's only also Lahoris. You're not allowed to say a Psak Alocha. Rav, the Gemara says, Rav Lamukim Amar Alei, Rav wouldn't give a shir in public after he made Kiddush on Yontim, because Rav could never give a shir without saying Piske Alocha. But apparently other Amarayim could. Yeah, the Gemara says sometimes you have to take a nap, and sometimes the nap will make you more confused, and sometimes you take a walk for a meal. The Gemara says how long after drinking you're not allowed to paskin.
Seems to be laughing for the whole day.
No, till it wore off. Yeah.
Saying what it says in Ebenezer is hurrah, isn't it?
And when the Shulchan Aruch quotes this din, that a shikra is also lahoirai, so the Ramah says, if it's a dav hamafurish bepsukim or bepaskim, it's muta. There are two girsas in the Ramah. So one girsa is dav hamafurish bepsukim, that hara is only on Torah Shabbal Peh. And just say, what it says in Chumash, that's Torah Shabbichsab, that's not called hara. And the other girsa in the Ramah is dav hamafurish bepaskim. Means that b'zmanazen nobody has any smicha anyway, so there is no hara. When a person says a psak today, it's not alpidin, it's not called hayrod. Ramam's opinion is that smicha is a din in hayrod. As times we go through that machlek, is the Ramam in Tosfos. Tosfos sheet is that smicha is a din in bezin. You can give a psak without having smicha if you know how to learn. condition. If a person knows how to learn, he can give a psak even without having smicha. Smicha is only a requirement to be able to function as a member of the bezin. And the Rambam's din is that smicha is not a din in bezin. You can have a bezin without smicha, but smicha is a din in horo. It's not called a psak. So no one today has any real bona fide smicha. All the smicha we have is just imitation smicha. That's what the Rambam quotes from the Abarbanel. I think it's the only place where the Rambam quotes the Abarbanel. And your idea that smicha today is just imitation smicha is to satisfy the Takanas Rebbe in the beginning of Sanhedrin. Daf Hey Talmud Al Yoram Ken Not For Bishus Mi Rabbi. So since today it's never called Lahoyrois, it's just a question. So just to say over what it says in the Poskim, that's muta. Dov Amfurish BePoskim is muta. I'll show you here. It says in the Mishnah Berurah. It says this. If it's not a Dov Amfurish BePoskim, then we would recommend he shouldn't paskim because he may be tipsy. He may not say it over straight. But if it's a davar mefurish b'paskim and there is no hayrua b'zman hazeh, so that's the other girsa. Two girsas in the Ramo. But he said, davar mefurish b'paskim, davar mefurish b'psukim. What's muta? Then the Torah has all of the dinim of which animals are kosher, which animals are not kosher. So by behema and chaya, it's determined by malager mafis parsa. A giraffe is obviously a kosher animal. It's clearly malager and it's clearly mafis parsa. A giraffe is kosher. Some people used to say, can't shecht the giraffe because you don't know exactly where you can shecht it. Well, you don't know exactly where. You have, the whole place is good. Anywhere you want, you can shecht it. From the top till the bottom. You can't go wrong. Some of the Rishonim learned, I think Rav Sadia Gaon says, that one of the animals mentioned in the Chumash is a giraffe. He gives you the Arab word. It's a giraffe. Giraffe is malager mafis pars. That's how you determine whether the animal is kosher or not. Yeah, the Gemara has a machlok, is what's in Bava Kamma, in Perek Merubah, the Gemara has a machlok, is what's the din of kolut ben pora. There's a pora, whose mother was a pora. His father and the mother were both para and a pora, para all the way back till Sheshes made Bereshes. And then an abnormal birth occurs, and the pora is born, the baby Vlad, is born without mafris parsa. Are you permitted to eat that Vlad or not? Gomel ben pora. It's a gomel ben pora. So we pass on the halacha that it is muta. Gomel ben pora is muta. Basically, it's a pora. You don't need malager mafris parsa on this animal. It comes from the animal, from the family of malager mafris parsa, so it's muta. There was one Tana, Reb Shimon holds not so. That Gomel ben Pora, there's an extra word, Gomel, in the Chumash. He says, Gomel goes on Gomel ben Pora. Call it ben Pora is also Bachila. But we don't pass like that. We pass and it is Muta. What if it be the reverse? Let's say there's a Gomel, 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 all the way till Sheshes may break. All of a sudden, the Gomel gives birth to a Pora. So the Vlad has Malager, Mafris, Paras. So the Gemara says that that's also. Pora, Bas Gomel, is Osir. But the Pischi Tshuva in Yeridei, in a few places, quotes a suffix from one of the Achrenim, the Yad Elio, Asfardish Achren, Elio Galafaf, I think his name was. So he quotes a suffix from the Yad Elio, what's the Geder Hadin? Is it also because of Yotzim in Hatome? The milk that comes from a camel's milk is Aser. Anything that's Yotzim in Hatome is Aser. So, Para Bas Gomol, is a vlad that's noilad min ha'aser, so it's also because of yotzim min ha'aser, or do you say no? It's worse than yotzim min ha'aser. Simonim amalager mafres parsin means the simonim in the family. If it would have been the reverse, it would have been a kolad ben para. It would have been mutter because the mother has the simonim. All the duras from sheshes may breishes till now they all had malager mafres parsin. So if the vlad doesn't have the simonim, it's mutter. So even if the vlad does have malager mafres parsin, it doesn't count. It doesn't matter that you don't determine malager mafis parsa on this particular animal. It means, does it come from a mishpach of animals that have malager mafis parsa? So since this is a pora, bas gomel, 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 all the way back gomel, so this would be mamish a gomel. What's the difference? Whether this is also because of gomel, or it's also because of yotzim in ha'aser, aser. So the Rambam holds a yotzim in ha'aser, there's no malchus, it's only an iser aser. So if you declare that it's mamish, a pora, bas gomel, is a gomel, so if you eat it, you get malchus. But if you say that, basically, the simonim of malager mafis parsa, either this animal should have, or should have an ancestor, the ancestor should have. So really, there's no lav, it's only an isares of yetzmanas, then there wouldn't be any malchus. That's one nafkamina. Then the other nafkamina that the Pischi Tshuva quotes is, you cannot write a sefer Torah tefillin on mezuzahs on or behema tameya. You can only ban on or behema toira. So if the para bas gomel is basically behema toira, but it's also because of yotze min ha'aser, so that shouldn't bother me. You can write sefer Torah tefillin and mezuzas on or of a behema which is nevela treifa also, as long as it's a min tohar. But if you hold that the para bas gomel, all the way back to sheish meibresh was gomel. If you hold the para bas gomel is a gomel, so then it's or behema tameya. Then you can't write. So that's what the Pischi Tshuva quotes this suffix from the Yad Elio. The way we paskin that kolud ben para is mutter, so the simonim don't have to be on this animal, simonim depend on the family. So what if it'll be the reverse? What if it's a para bas gomel? Do you say since it has a simonim, has malagar mafis parsa, basically it's a behemoth tohira, just that it's yotzim in ha'osav and isar esay, but it's not a behemoth meyah? Do you say no? The simonim only depend on the dorish avru. This is an abnormal, it's an anomaly that it's a parah. It's really a gomel, it's really a lois esay. Then the Torah has the simonim for dogim.
Isn't the right, based on the fact that kolban parah is kosher, doesn't that prove that it's just about the men, not about the
specific simonim? Right, so the Yo has a suffix, maybe it depends either or. Either the simonim in this animal or simonim of the min. It belongs to the min. So maybe if this animal has malagir, mafis paras, it really is a behema Torah, but the parah bas gomel is also because of yotzim in hasa, just in isares. That's his suffix. Or he say, no, it all depends on the min. It doesn't depend. The simonim are, on this particular animal, are irrelevant. It only depends on the min. Nah, that's the odds are a million to one. You go bus arrive. Yeah.
Not choshish.
It says a nusa de lo shchir. I don't know if it ever happened. Okay. The Gemara talks about theoretically what the dinim are. Yeah. There are differences between behema and chaya. The din of Ezbena only applies to behemas, doesn't apply to chayas. The din of Kisei Adam only applies to chaya, doesn't apply to behema. Chelev chaya is muta. Chelev behema is asa. You have to determine whether malagir mafis parsa, that's the same, whether it's a behemah or a chayah, the exact same simon. But you have to determine whether the animal is a behemah, the animal is a chayah. So how does one determine? So the Gemara in the middle of Chulin tells you have to be able to judge based on the shape of the horns. Not everybody's such a big expert on determining the shape of the horns. So the Shach writes over there, you shouldn't be mata the chelev of an animal by declaring that it's a chayah. Based on the shape of the horns, you may be making a mistake. You should always make sure that you have a masora, that this animal is a chaya as opposed to a behema, and therefore, let's say you shech the deer. So a deer is clearly a chaya, but other animals are not so clear. So if you shech the deer, you don't have to treba, you don't have to remove the chelev, just have to remove the chute dam. When you salt an animal, so that when you salt meat, so the salt will only succeed in getting out the blood that's in the capillaries, not going to get out the blood in the big arteries and the big veins. So you have to yank out the chutei hadam. But if it's a chai, you don't have to remove the chelev. So that's what the Shach says, to determine whether any given animal is a chbeim or a chai, to be mata the chelev, is an isakores. You shouldn't judge on your own based on the shape of the horns, even though that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You should always make sure that you have a masur. So Chochmas Sodom quotes that Shach, he presents it a little differently from the way it says. The Shach lived in Vilna, Chochmas Sodom lived in Vilna. So the Shach says this was the minig in Vilna, that you need a masor, you don't rely on the shape of the horns. So when the Chochmas Sodom quotes it, he writes totally differently. He writes, in order to eat any given animal, you shouldn't rely on malager, mafis, parasa. You should always make sure that you have a masor. So some people say the Chochmas Sodom made a mistake. He misquoted what it said in the Shach. And the Chazon Ish thought that the Chochmas Sodom in Lithuania, the Chochmas Sodom and the Chai Adam was treated like the Bible. Whatever it says in Chochmas Sodom, that's the din. He has Chumras, he has Kulas. That was the minig by the Lithuanian Jews. So in Eretz Yisrael, when Chief Rabbi was Rabbi Herzog, they wanted to introduce the Zibu into Eretz Yisrael. The Zibu is a bis, Zibu is some kind of a hybrid between other animals. No, it's not a hybrid. It's a cow, but it has a hump on the back like a camel. A camel is a trefa animal. It's not a hybrid with a camel. It has a hump on the back. It doesn't look 100% like an animal. When you look at it, it's a dead giveaway that it's not that it's not a cow. But it's malager mafis harasa, and it doesn't have to drink so much water. The milk doesn't taste as good as regular cow's milk, but in the Middle East it's so hot all the time. So you have to animal. The cows always have to drink. So this has the mila of a camel that it stores up a lot of water and doesn't have to drink all day long. It can drink water and then wait 3 days to drink some more water. So they wanted to introduce the zebu in Eretz Yisrael. They have them in India, they have them in South America. They wanted to introduce the zebu in Eretz Yisrael. So the Chazon Ish said, it's malager, mafris parsa, but the litvaks won't be able to eat it because we follow the Chachmas Adam. Chachmas Adam says that the minig in Vilna was, based on that shach, the minig of Vilna was that you only eat an animal if you have a masar that it's kosher. So Chief Rabbi Herzog corresponded with the Chazon Ish on this issue. So Rabbi Herzog said, but the Jews from India have a tradition. They have a masar that the zebu is kosher. So the Chazon Ish said the masar has to be from Rabbanim. And in India, unfortunately, they didn't have Talmid Chacham in there, so that masar doesn't count. So Rabbi Herzog accepted it. So the Taka didn't introduce the zebu in Eretz Yisrael. But then they were experimenting. This is against the din. A Jew is not allowed to experiment. Non-Jews are probably also not allowed to experiment. To do Harboaz Behemoth, there are seven mitzvahs ben enoach that if the nochri violates it, he's chayiv mamish misa, he's chayiv saif. And then in addition to the seven mitzvahs ben enoach, there are several additional prohibitions, but there's no einish misa. So one of the additional prohibitions that it says in the Gemara, in the Rambam, and in Yeridaya is harboaz behemoth, that a non-Jew is not allowed to breed together two different kinds of animals. But they did it over here. So they were hybriding between a zebu and a cow, and they calculated if it's 3/8 one and 5/8 the other one, so it'll have the best of both worlds. The milk will taste like milk from a cow, and it'll have the mila of the zebu that it doesn't have to drink water so much. So the guy made these experiments, and they made these hybrids, and then they and then they pointed out that since we have a masora that the cow is a kosher animal, we know yeshev cow is para, and the Gemara says in Bchoris in the first parak that a kosher animal and a not kosher animal can't breed together. They can't have vlodis. So over here they are having vlodis together. So the Chasam Sofer writes in a tshuva, before the zebu issue came up, he writes, if you have a kosher animal, which we have a masorah, breeds with another animal, so if they breed together, so obviously the masorah on the one is good on the other one, the other one is also good. So after many years, they allowed the zebu. Because they realize that they can have lotus together, so obviously the masorah and the para carries over to the zebu.
And it's a little funny, because how's the fact that it can breed better than the fact that it has mafis parsa and
the shach says you shouldn't rely on malager mafis parsa, probably because they may make a mistake. They did make a mistake. There was the Torah Tmima quotes a taina on Parshas Re'eh. He quotes a discussion. There was an animal in the African jungles that had two spines, and his malager mafis parsa. And he asked, isn't this against the Gemara? The Gemara says there is no such animal; it can't exist. That is malager mafis parsa and has two spines. So they were bothered with this kasha for a long time. Remember the Torah Tmeima written early 1900s. They were bothered for 75 years. Until the world's experts got together and they realized, the goyim, they realized they made a mistake, that animal in the African jungles is not malagera. It's chewing, let's say a person chews gum. That's not called malagera. In Yiddish, if you don't like a person that's chewing gum, so you say the person is a malagera. But malagera means the food comes back up from the stomach, then it goes down, then it goes back up, goes down again. So this animal is always chewing. So all the world's, what do you call these experts on animals? Zoologists. All the world zoologists thought that animal was a malagera until maybe 15 years ago, 20 years ago. They realized they made a mistake. It's not a malagera. It wasn't a malagera. So that's why Mr. the Chochmas Adam understood that the Shach is saying a meaning that you shouldn't rely on malagera mafis parsa. He may be making a mistake. He may think that it's malagera, and it really isn't. As they made a mistake on this particular animal. By birds, the psukim don't give you the simanim. Psukim list off all the non-kosher birds, and all the other birds are kosher. But the Mishnah in Chulin, Perek Eletrefis, calculates based on all of the birds which are what are the simonim to determine whether any given bird is kosher or aser. So for many generations people relied on the simonim. So the Gemara in Chulin, Perigel, the Gemara tells a story that there was a certain bird in Bovel that they had no tradition on, but they saw it had all the simonim, so they shechted it and they started to eat it. And then after a while, they realized they made a mistake, it didn't have all the simonim, and they were eating a noif tomei. So Rashi comments on the Gemara, very unusual. Rashi usually doesn't say psak halacha. Rashi on the Gemara says, therefore it's a good idea never to eat a bird based on simonim unless you have a masur. Because if the Amoroi made a mistake, we can also make a mistake. So the Ramon Yeridea quotes this. He doesn't quote it from Rashi. He quotes it from the Sefer Issa v'Heter, which is written by Rabbeinu Yonah Ashkenazi. Issa v'Heter is quoted on every page in Yeridea. Every single page is quoted in Issa v'Heter. Issa v'Heter ha'oruch. There are a few Issa v'Heters. So this is called Issa v'Heter ha'oruch by the Rabbeinu Yonah. So he quotes that Rashi. You shouldn't rely on the simonim by Ashkenazim have the chumra of Rashi. Tzfarim don't have the chumra. So that was the whole issue. When Columbus discovered America and he brought back turkeys to Europe, are you permitted to eat turkeys? So the turkeys have all the simonim of an oif tohar. So Columbus was a Sephardi. He came back to Spain and the Sephardim started eating the turkey.
He was born in Italy.
Okay. But he came back to Spain. So he brought the turkey back to the Sephardim, so they ate it. And then after 100 years, the Ashkenazim saw the Sephardim are eating the turkey. So they assumed there must have been a Masaira. So they started eating it. But Lamai said there never was a Masaira on it. So that was the whole issue. So there were Rabbonim who didn't want to eat turkey. They felt it's against the Ramo. The Ramo says, the meaning of Rashi, not to eat any oif based on Simanim unless you have a Masaira. They quote on the side of the Yerideya that the family of the Shaloh doesn't eat turkey. Rabbi David Horowitz is a descendant of the Shaloh. His name is Horowitz, he's a lady. So he says there are people in his family that eat Chazar on Yom Kippur, but they won't eat turkey. That's the family tradition, they don't eat turkey. Yeah. They quote that people were tining that it's not right, that the Ashkenazim are eating turkey, it's in violation of the minig. So the Baal Shem once got up and he said, you're not allowed to be mekatrik on Klal Yisrael, there's nothing wrong with the turkey, it's okay. Shaloh says, why is it okay? It's against the minig. So some Achranim wrote that some of the Indians were from the Lost Ten Tribes and they had a Masorah that the turkey was kosher. So Baba Mai said this. The Indians are not from the Lost Ten Tribes and they never had a Masorah. The turkey was brought to America also. Mimachakim. It was brought from some other place. It didn't originate in America. The whole thing is a big problem. The whole turkey story is a big problem.
Does there be turkey?
I don't eat turkey. But strictly speaking, the OU gives a hechsher on turkey. Strictly speaking, the meaning is that everybody eats turkey.
Aren't there some people who say that since it's so similar to a chicken, so it's like we have a masorah?
Some Achranim write that it's so similar to a chicken, it's basically the same as a chicken. Yeah, but it's so dissimilar. So what's not similar to a chicken? A horse? A cow? It's very dissimilar, it's not at all. Some Achranim write like that. The masorah and the chicken carries over to the turkey because it's so similar. The shaila is you can breed turkeys and chickens, but only with artificial insemination. On their own, they're not going to breed. So does that count? And they'll give lotus also. So that's the shaila. When the Gemara says in Bechoris, in the first parak, a kosher and a non-kosher animal, the Gemara is talking about animals, not about birds. So that's a machlokes achrayim, where the statement that the Gemara gave, that kosher and non-kosher animals can't breed together, can't have a vlad. Does that only apply to animals with the simonim that you're working with, amalagay marfis parsa? Or does it even apply to birds? And then there's a shayla on top of a shayla. On their own, they won't breed. You can do artificial insemination, which they do. So does that also count? Or does it only count if they breed on their own?
Again, since there are 22 species of hummingbirds, so why can't we just say there are tons of species of birds altogether, so it
could
be like a
meat of baroque or something. Yeah, the Gemara says that's exactly the din that you're not allowed to. You don't go basaroiv. Even though ruba de ruba, there's so many species, the ruba are kosher, but that's what the Rambam quotes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. It says, there's a mitzvah havdalah. What does it mean, the mitzvah havdalah? The Rambam has havdalah means to be boidik in the simonim. So what do you mean a mitzvah to be bodik in the simonim? Let's say the shechet in the slaughterhouse, when he shechts the chickens. He checks every single chicken to see if it has simanim. He doesn't check all the single. What's the mitzvah to be bodig in the simanim? What does it mean? If you don't bodig in the simanim, so it may be not kosher. If you see it's a chicken, so you know it is kosher. So they quote the Rivash. The Chuvas HaRivash says, even though the rive is that rive of the birds are tahor, only these particular minim atome, that's what the mitzvah means, not to go basa rive. You shouldn't rely on the rive. It's a mitzvah's havdalah. Even if a person wasn't boidik and he ate a certain bird or he ate a certain animal, and after he ate it, then he was boidik, and it turns out that it was kosher, he didn't violate the law, but he was mevatel yaseh b'dika simonim. Yeah. Even though there's a roif, unless it's an overwhelming roif, there are different degrees of roif. There's a roif 51% to 49%, then there's a roif 61%, 71%, 81%, 91%, 98%, 99.99%. So if it's 99.99% roif, then the Rivash thinks that there's no eser v'hivdalta. If it's such a high roif that you would even give din in the fashas based on such a rive, you could even be mitzi moment based on such a rive. So then there's no mitzvah abdullah. Mitzvah abdullah is only if it's a rive, 85%, 90% rive. But if it's a very high rive, then there's no mitzvah of bedikah. Then furthermore, that's what the Darkei Tshuva points out. The pasuk says that it's a mitzvah abdullah by dogim tameim also, to check the dogim. Does it mean that you have to check every single fish to see if it has snap of the kaskesa? So it can't mean that, because the pasuk says kol shalosh snap of the kaskesa amayim. So Rashi does not quote from the Gemara. The Gemara says in Eilat Treifus, there are some fish that have snap of the kaskesa, but when you pull them out of the water, the kaskesas fall off. So if the kaskesa falls off, how can you check to see if it has kaskesas? All the kaskesas fall off. All you need is one. The Gemara says snap of the kaskesas. One kaskesis is enough to be matir. Shulchan Aruch, they say you shouldn't eat a fish based on one kaskesis, because it could be it didn't have any kaskesis, but the fish sit on top of each other. It could be the kaskesis from a different fish is on this fish. It has a lot of kaskesis, and then probably one of them is from this fish. But if it only has one, you got to make sure that the kaskesis grew on this fish. So that's the shaila that the Darkei Tshuva quotes. He asked that kasha. How can you say you have to be bodik b'simonim? If the halacha says if it lost the kaskesis in the water, it's mutter anyway, so how are you going to be bodik b'simonim? So the answer he gives is, if you know that it's a min tahor, I know what a tuna fish looks like. I know it looks like a filter fish. I know whatever. It looks like a herring. I know what it is, right? So I know it's a duck tahor. If you don't know what it is, then the halacha says you have to check for the simon. So that's the shaila, let's say, a tuna fish. The tuna fish, they check so many times. The sailors on the boat who catch the tuna fish know that when they're going to bring it to the dry land, the company is not going to pay them if it's not a tuna fish. So whenever they catch fish, they catch other fish also, not tuna. Either they throw it back into the ocean or they eat it themselves on the boat. But they're not going to bring it, because they know they're not going to get any money for it. So it's a waste of time. Then when they bring it to the dry land, so the company checks all the fish to make sure everything is a tuna fish. Then when they cut it up, they check again. They have someone else. They check many times, and after they put it in the cans, after they cook it, every 200, every 300 cans, they open up one can to make sure that it's tuna fish. They have quality control to make sure. So they check many times. So we know that it's tuna fish. That's what the Rishonim say based on the Gemara. The Beis Yosef and the Darkei Moshe both quote in Simen Pei Gimel. The Darkei Moshe was written by the Ramo before he had a Beis Yosef. And then when he got the Beis Yosef, so he realized a lot of what he wrote is duplicated. The Beis Yosef already quoted it, so he abridged the Darkei Moshe, and he left out all the things that already appear in the Beis Yosef. And if you have the Darkei Moshe Haruch, the original Darkei Moshe, so this Tosis Rid, and it was quoted by both the Beis Yosef and the Darkei Moshe, that if you know that the goyim are in the business of only, and they talk about tuna fish, they talk about tuna. All they sell is tuna fish. They go fishing only in a location, all they sell is tuna fish. The umal amaram nasim, you know that all he sells is tuna fish. So they say you don't have to check to see if it has this amount. You don't have to check to make sure it's a tuna fish. We know that. That's their business. They only sell tuna fish. So you can't say that you mevatel the essay of bedika simonim. That's what the Darkei Tshuva says. The essay only applies if you don't know what animal it is. You don't know if it's a duck tar, but if you know it's a tuna fish, we know a tuna fish is a duck tar, so there's not a problem. They asked the fellow who owned the dagim, Dagim checks, Dagim doesn't check every single fish either. They check more than the others. So they asked them, after he was in business for 10 years, they asked them, how often did he find a non-kosher fish? So he said, not only did they never find a non-kosher fish, not only did they never find another fish that's kosher, they never found another tuna fish there. The three kinds of tuna fish that they sell for human consumption, they sell tuna fish for animals also, but for human consumption they do albacore and skipjack and yellowfin. So each one has a different amount of time that they cook it. One of them they cook 8.5 minutes, one of them cook 11 minutes, one they cook 10 minutes, something like that. And each one has a different broth, a different soup with it. So they said they never, all the years that they were checking, 10 years they're in business, they never found an albacore when they were doing skipjack. Never found a skipjack when they're doing albacore. So that's what the Rivosh said. If it's a rave, like 99.99%, it never happened. You have to check to see if the sun is going to rise today at 7:09. The sun has been rising at 7:09 on March 21st. The last 5,700 whatever it is, 74 years. What is there to check about? It's a roiv of 99.99% that it's going to happen again. So then there's no choiva b'dika siman. The choiva b'dika simanim is you're not sure what the fish is. You're not sure which min it is. So even though you have a roiv of 80%, have a roiv of 90%, you shouldn't rely on that. You should do b'dika siman. But if you know what it is, you know what the min is. So then there's no din of b'dika siman. There are tens of thousands of types of fish. So it's not shaykh to insist that you need a masoira on fish. The masoira, that's why Rashi says you need a masoira. Rashi and the Ramah quoted from the Isabeta, you shouldn't eat birds without a masoira. But fish, that's what the Darkei Tshiva quotes from the Rosh's son. One of the Rosh's son, not from the Tur, Rabbein Yehuda. Ben HaRosh has a collection of Shabbos and Tshuvas. So the Darkei Tshuva quotes from his Tshuvas that you don't need a masoira on fish. You just look to see if it has a snap of haskesis and it's mutter. Then the Torah has the dinim of niblas behemas matami b'mago u b'masa. Meis adam is matami b'mag masa u b'ohol. We were talking about it the other day when we learned the Gemara. The Shemana Shuatzim Hamurim Batorah, there are 24 prokim on Masechah Shabbos. One parak is Shmashuatzim. So the Shemana Shuatzim Hamurim Batorah is in today's parasha. And they're only Metami Bimago. They're not Metami Bimas. It's Psukim, like everything is Psukim. Kol Holech Al Gochon, the Gemara says, has a big Vav. And the Vav of Gochon is Emtza Osios Shebesefer Torah. So the Gemara assumes that there's an even number of Osios, not an odd number, and the Vav is actually in the middle. The Vav is either the end of the first half or the Vav is the beginning of the second half. So the Gemara in Kiddushin, the end of the first perk is, well, which is it? Is it the last letter in the first half or is it the first letter in the second half? How does the Gemara know that it's an odd number? Maybe it's an odd number of letters and it's Mamish Be'emtza Sefer Torah. So the Pnei Yeshua and that Gemara in Kedushin says, no, the Gemara knew what it says in the Zohar, that there is Shishim Riba Osios LaTorah. The Zohar says like that, the last page in the Zohar on Shir HaShirim. Pnei Yeshua quotes that. So the Gemara knew that there's an even number of letters in the Sefer Torah. The Gemara has?
Doesn't the Gemara over there count how many words
or
letters
are on the Sefer? No. The Gemara just says that it's Emtza Osios Shebesefer Torah. So the Gemara says, so which is it? Is it the end of the first half, the beginning of the second half? So the Gemara says, we don't remember. The Gemara says, so nicely Sefer Torah, let's bring a Sefer Torah, let's count it, we'll see. The Gemara says, Anan Labikina Bachaseris V'yaseris. So that's the question, what is that? So the Ramo and Shulchan Aruch understands that our Sefer Torah have a lot of mistakes. Sometimes you have a Vav that doesn't belong. Sometimes we're missing a Vav. I should be a Sefer Torah Shechasar, Isachar should be Pasul, is a Shtarke Kasha. Ramah says, La'aloch, if you're leaning from a Sefer Torah, and you see that there's an extra Vav or missing Vav, Chasar V'yaser, you don't take out another Sefer Torah because of that, because maybe the other Sefer Torah, maybe this one is Kasha and the other one is Pasul. Because Anan La'bikinim V'chaseris V'yaseris. That's the Ramah like that. Yes, yeah, so all the Sefer Torah should be Pasul Misafek. So how do you learn Kriyas HaTorah? That's the Shiloh. All the Sefer Torah, half of the Sefer Torah should be possible because of B'tzua Dako. Is it supposed to be spelled with a Heya with an Aleph? So the Shagazai talks about that. The Minchas Chinuch gives the answer that's usually assumed. When you have a Sefer Torah with a misspelling, let's say you write Noyach, you write with a long Nun. noyach, or you write with a chaf instead of a ches. In Yiddish, the expression is even. You write noyach with seven mistakes. Noyach means sieben greisen. You can write longer. Nun and vav, yud, noy, aleph, and a small chaf. I'm not that seven mistakes, I'm not sure. But that's in Yiddish, the expression. You can spell noyach with seven mistakes. So if you make a mistake, that's mamash a mistake. So they say, if there is possible. But if you wrote Moshe, mem, vav, shin, hey, it's not according to the Masor, but it's not a mistake in spelling. I write Aharon, Aleph, Hey, Resh, Vav, Nun. It should have been Chosah, but you wrote it Molei. Psuadaka with a Hey with an Aleph means the same thing. They're both correct spelling according to the dictionary. So the Minhag HaShechina suggests that wouldn't pass a Sefer Torah B'Diavad.
What if there's a
din
that's learned out from the
He says if you have a Kriya Ksiv, if you have a Kriya Ksiv, then it'll pass. If you have a din that's based on it, then it'll, Minhag HaShechina thinks it'll pass. But if you don't have any din, it's just that it's not spelled in accordance with the Masorah, he thinks that that would not pass. Rav Soloveitchik said that his father thought the Gemara meant a different thing. His father thought that the Gemara says, Anan lo bikina mechaseris v'yiseris. We had a tradition that the Vav of Gochan is either the end of the first half or the beginning of the second half. We already forgot what the tradition is. The Gemara says, so let's count it up and we'll see. The Gemara means to say, Anan lo bikina. If we want to reconstruct it, it won't become a chelik of the Masor, so it's just a waste. Let's say, in the Chidon HaTanach, so they ask, where do you have in Tanakh five words in a row that begin with an Aleph? Where do you have five words in a row that have two letters? Okay. They have all kinds of questions on Chin. Those are the easy ones. Those are the ones that I know. Then they ask others that I don't know, that the experts know. So that's not part of the Masorah. These are cute things to know. This is a believe it or not. Belongs in Ripley's believe it or not of Tanakh. But it's not part of the Masorah. So here you have a Masorah that the Vav HaGoch and Emtzah Sefer Torah. So we forgot which it is. So the Gemara meant to say, Anan lo bikinon, and once you forgot, even if you reconstruct it, it'll be like all the other questions in the Chidon HaTanakh. That's not part of the Masorah. So it'll be a waste of time to count them and reconstruct it, because it won't be part of the Masorah. Once the Masorah is lost, Salpidin is not called the Masorah. That's what Rav Moshe Soloveitchik thought. So he thought you shouldn't follow that Ramah. The Ramah says you don't take out another Sefer Torah because of a Malei Yechaser. He thought that that perhaps you should. Okay. So what's the story Sunday? Sunday they told us we have to finish here by 10:30 because of this Chag HaSmicha. So we'll start here about 9 o'clock. Belineta, if the building will be open.
Okay.
Okay, otherwise I'll share outside.
Locking streets anyway.
Okay.